darkness was torn open by a red surge of anger from deep within him. Anger and a hunger to survive.
Patience.
Prince Shizor barely managed to squeeze the word past the encircling constriction at his throat.
Patience is a virtue, the rewards of which are for the Empire.
Well spoken, Shizor. A trace of amusement sounded in Emperor Palpatine's voice, barely audible at some place in the black-tinged haze. Your little diversion's weary me, Vader. Release him. The pressure on Shizor's throat, imagined or real, was suddenly released. With an effort of sheer will, he held himself upright, drawing in a breath that filled his lungs, and threw his shoulders back. The Emperor made a dismissive gesture with one languid hand.
I desire that there be a cessation of this squabbling among my servants. You quarrel with each other while the rebellion festers and grows.
Shizor spread his hands wide, palms upward.
Every atom of my being is at your command, my lord. How pleasant it would be, Shizor, to believe that. But I am not such a fool. You are not so devoid of self-interest, Shizor, as you would have me believe. If you wish to see the Empire achieve its stated glory, for its dominion across the galaxy to be total, then such a desire is due to your own lust for glory and power. You tie your ambitions to the Empire because you know that is the best way to achieve them.
Shizor looked straight back into the Emperor's eyes.
I will not deny it, my lord. But should not a faithful servant be rewarded for all that he does on his master's behalf?
Oh, you'll be rewarded well enough. Have no fear of that.
The Emperor's hands lay like dead things on the arms of the throne.
When the rebellion is crushed and all that resist my will are annihilated, those who have served me will have the greatest reward of all, the opportunity to continue serving me and the Empire, until you are broken by age and the rigors of that service, and I will have no further use for you. Such is the nature of my loyalty to those who have earned it.
Once again, Shizor bowed his head.
I desire nothing more than that, my lord.
From the corner of his eye, with his head still bowed, Shizor looked over at the hollow image of Darth Vader. Even at this remove, with his enemy not even physically present in the throne room, he could still sense the Dark Lord's disdain and suspicion.
He knows, thought Shizor, but he cannot prove it yet.
And it might not matter, even if Vader could prove it. All of Vader's accusations of treachery counted for nothing against the Emperor's own convoluted strategies that gave the seeming appearance of trust in the Black Sun leader.
But does Palpatine know,
wondered Shizor,
that I know?
If the Emperor thought that Shizor was taken in by this charade, then the Emperor was the greater fool. It was just a matter of who got caught first. The Black Sun criminal organization, controlled by Prince Shizor, had its own agenda. Where Palpatine's reach extended, so would Black Sun's. And the Emperor was old, visibly so. This vaunted force, whatever its nature, could not keep him alive forever. Even before then, Black Sun might emerge from the darkness, a power in its own right, and claim the larger Empire for its own, a treasure plucked from Palpatine's withered hand.
Perhaps,
spoke the hollow image of Darth Vader,
the Emperor would care to determine the quality of Prince Shizor's service. It was not so very long ago that Shizor told us of his great plans to destroy the Bounty Hunters Guild and all the benefits that would thus flow to the Empire.
Vader's image looked contemptuously toward the Feline prince.
Surely by now, those plans would have shown some results.
Excellent, Vader. The Emperor nodded in approval. You anticipate my desires. Such is the true sign of a valued servant. Palpatine's gaze sharpened as he peered at Shizor. I granted you my permission to carry out your scheme. You promised much from your plan to break up the old Bounty Hunters Guild. A seemingly endless supply of the type of servants that the Empire requires. Sharp and agile mercenaries to take the place of the dull inefficiencies with which I am afflicted. But the outcome of that scheme appears rather clouded. What say you, Prince Shizor? A bow of his head, then he looked back into those dead-seeming eyes.
The explanation is simple enough, my lord.
Shizor spread his hands apart.
The campaign against the Bounty Hunters Guild is not yet complete. The guild has broken into two rival factions, the True Guild and the Guild Reform Committee. The latter is effectively under the control of the bounty hunter Bossk, the son of the original guild's leader, Kradosk.
The Emperor displayed an unpleasant smile. I see no great advantage in there being two guilds when there was only one before. If anything, it merely compounds our difficulties in dealing with these creatures. Shizor returned the Emperor's gaze.
Whatever pretense to brotherhood the bounty hunters may have once maintained, that sham, at least, has been ripped away. Now we must complete the process of fragmentation. Each individual bounty hunter must be turned against all others, in whichever faction they currently reside. They must have no interests in common, but only enmity for each other.
Tell me now, said the Emperor, just how you propose to shatter these two factions into their constituent atoms.
By the very element that motivates these creatures, that made them decide to become bounty hunters in the first place. A powerful galaxy-spanning force in its own right.
Shizor hesitated a moment in an intentional dramatic effect.
Greed, he said. That will do it.
The Emperor's smile grew even less pleasant than before.
There is a wisdom, even a certain justice, in turning a creature's own nature against itself. Much of my own rule depends upon exactly that tactic.
Palpatine nodded slowly. That was when Shizor knew he had won another round in this game. He would be empowered to carry out the next step in his plans, and as long as the Emperor thought that those plans were entirely to his benefit and to the benefit of the Empire, so much the better.
Soon enough, thought Shizor, he'll find out the truth. But by then, it will be too late.
The Emperor raised his hand.
Proceed with your plans against the remnants of the Bounty Hunters Guild, but bear in mind, Shizor, failure is no longer an option for you. There is only success or death.
Shizor bowed his head.
That is as I prefer it, my lord.
You've got to admit,
said Boss.
It's a nice place for a meeting.
He enjoyed his own grim humor. Keeping the claws of one hand resting on the grip of his holstered blaster, Bossk watched as Boba Fett looked around the moldering crevices and dry cliff faces of the desert sea of Golindrine Beta.
I sent for you to come here for a reason. We've got a chance to make some major credits, big time stuff.
Bossk hadn't seen Boba Fett in the flesh since they had both been back at the old Bounty Hunters Guild headquarters. The guild had just started its process of falling apart, right after Bossk had killed his own father, Kratosk. Bossk had heard a lot of rumors since then. The whispered account had it that Boba Fett had actually been responsible for breaking up the Bounty Hunters Guild.
If he had, Bossk decided, then he did me a favor.
His father, Kratosk, would still be alive and running the show otherwise. And he'd still be waiting for his chance. He had a good idea that Boba Fett knew what was being referred to. The word about this particular piece of hard merchandise had gone through the bounty hunter's grapevine at close to hyperspace velocities.
You and me can pull this one off if we work it together. Or we can go solo and both wind up dead. Some jobs are just too big for one bounty hunter.
Boba Fett didn't even bother giving a shrug. Speak for yourself. Boss could feel his eyes narrowing into slits as his spine tensed with anger.
That does it. You go your way, and I'll go mine. We'll see who gets killed first.
He turned on his heel and started back toward the waiting Hound's Tooth.
Wait a minute.
Boba Fett's voice called after him. Boss glanced over his shoulder, glaring at the other bounty hunter.
What?
I didn't say I wouldn't go in with you on this one.
The other bounty hunter's words evoked a slow nod from Bosk. Boba Fett had already started walking back toward his own ship. Bosk followed after Fett.
Have a seat.
Boba Fett pointed to a bench near one of Slave One's holding cages. He sat down on one at the opposite side of the space.
So you want to go after this renegade stormtrooper, right?
That was an understatement. When the bounty had been posted in an official wideband relay from the Emperor's palace on Coruscant, the amount of credits offered had been thought to be some kind of transmission error, too many zeros added on to whatever the real sum was. Both of the factions from the old Bounty Hunters Guild had contacted the Emperor's communications center and had asked for a clarification as to the actual amount of the bounty being offered. And they had been told that there had been no transmission error. The amount given in the original message was for real. The effect on bounty hunters throughout the galaxy had been electrifying. Greed worked miracles when it came to getting sentient creatures' attention. For Bosk, it had been like laying his bared claws straight upon an unshielded power generator. Every scale on his body had seemed charged.
This would settle everything.
That was the dominant thought that had sprung up inside Bosk's head. To capture the renegade Imperial Stormtrooper, for which Emperor Palpatine had posted such a colossal bounty, would determine once and for all, in Bosk's eyes and those of every other sentient creature in the galaxy, just who was the number one bounty hunter. The Emperor wasn't putting up that kind of credits because it was going to be an easy job. This particular stormtrooper, Tohin Vasant, was one of the commanders, right at the top level of the Imperial Stormtrooper hierarchy. Or he had been right up there until he had dumped the personnel of an Imperial destroyer at Blaster Point, commandeering the vessel with a hand-picked skeleton crew of accomplices. Initial speculation about what the motives of Vasant might have been centered around the possibility of his having defected to the Rebel Alliance, taking the destroyer as an addition to the Alliance's growing arsenal. That theory had been largely abandoned when the destroyer had turned up drifting in an uninhabited navigational sector between star systems, with the corpses of Vasant's accomplices aboard. They had been efficiently executed in standard Imperial Stormtrooper disciplinary fashion, a single laser hole at the back of each one's skull. The destroyer had been stripped of whatever pieces were most easily and profitably salvaged. Thruster engine parts with the appropriate molecular level code numbers started turning up almost immediately in various black market salvage operations. Whatever credits had been paid out had enabled Vasant to pull off a complete disappearing act.
So, do we have a deal going?
Bosk leaned back against the bulkhead behind the seat.
You and me, we are forming a team, a partnership to go after this renegade stormtrooper.
Boba Fett gave a single nod.
Strictly a one-time operation. Don't anticipate anything permanent.
Bosk peered closer at Boba Fett.
So, why team up with me now?
The answer is simple. Fett pointed a single gloved finger toward Bosk.
You're useful to me right now. A matter of strategy. Lassant is going to be expecting bounty hunters to be coming after him in teams, given the magnitude of difficulties in apprehending a former stormtrooper such as himself. He'll be expecting that from all the bounty hunters except me.
So, what's your plan?
Bossk frowned.
I mean, other than forming a team, when he's not expecting you to do that.
The first thing we'll have you do, said Boba Fett, is betray me. When we make contact with Vassant, when we find out just where he's hiding, you'll offer to go over to his side to work for him. The best way to get past your target's defenses is to make him think you're betraying someone else. Bossk shook his head.
I can see what he'd want from me. Mainly that I'd set you up somehow, so you wind up dead, and he doesn't wind up as hard merchandise in one of your holding cages. But what does Vassant have that makes it worthwhile for me to deal with him? He's probably already spent most of the credits he got from the scavenger operations that he pieced out the destroyer to.
Vassant has got plenty left to deal with. He stole the code databases for all the Imperial Stormtroopers' strategic insertion teams. Those teams are in deep cover, so they have to stay with the original codes that they were sent out with. And that's what the Empire needs to get back. Enough for Palpatine to have set up that kind of bounty. For a cut of his eventual profits from selling the code databases, you can make sure that I won't be able to interfere with his plans. Or, at least that's what you'll tell him. Nodding slowly and thoughtfully, Bossk mulled over the details of the plan.
How am I going to convince him that I can stop you from catching him?
That's the simplest part of all. Boba Fett spread his gloved hands apart. You'll kill me. And we need proof, real hard proof, that you're serious about betraying your partners. So we need one more partner, just for the purpose of giving him that proof. Boba Fett rose from the bench on which he'd been sitting. Come over here. I have something to show you that you'll find interesting. Bossk followed the other bounty hunter over to the storage lockers at the hole's other side. Boba Fett punched a key sequence into the pad beside one of the square locker doors. A red light flashed, and the drawer slid open.
What's that?
Startled, Bossk gaped at the figure lying face upward in the drawer.
Zuckus!
The insect-like face with its immense goggling eyes and intertwined breathing tubes was as familiar to him as his own. Bossk looked over at Boba Fett.
What happened to him?
Simple, said Fett. We needed a dead bounty hunter, someone that you can tell Vassant was part of our team. So, I provided one.
He's dead?
Bossk pointed to the unmoving figure.
Really dead?
See for yourself. Bossk straightened up from his examination of the corpse.
He's dead, all right. Why did I do it? What's the line going to be on that?
Just as you said before, you didn't feel like splitting up the credits with any more partners than necessary. I've already started the story in circulation about Zuckus teaming up with you and me. It's probably already reached Vassant's ears by now. So when we track him down and you talk to him, you can feed him the rest of the line.
Which is?
That you don't feel like splitting the credits with me, either. And that you've figured out that you'll do better financially if you sell me out to Vassant rather than sticking with me as a partner. After all, I'm not as famous for being trustworthy as I am for other things, am I?
I'm in deep here,
Bossk thought, as he gazed into the dark visor of Boba Fett's helmet. He was beginning to wonder exactly how deep.
No,
said Bossk slowly.
I guess you're not.
Then it's settled. Boba Fett punched a control sequence into the pad on the forearm sleeve of his Mandalorian battle armor. On the other side of the ship's hold, the hatchway irised open. We're partners.
We could take him now,
growled Bosk under his breath.
Why don't we just go ahead and do it?
He was alone at the table. The voice that answered his question sounded from deep inside his ear, where a cochlear microimplant device had been precisely inserted with the point of a surgical needle. That piece of equipment had been just one of the preparations for this job.
Not as simple as that,
said Boba Fett's voice, both near, right inside Bosk's head, and distant. The other bounty hunter was currently located somewhere far from this ratty watering hole. Fett might still be aboard Slave One, out past this backwater world's atmosphere, for all Bosk knew.
Do you really think our target doesn't have some kind of defenses in place?
A snarl of glowering impatience settled on Bosk's face. It was one thing to change the plan at the last minute, another just to let him sit here.
So what's our target doing?
Drinking, growled Bosk. What else is it to do in a dive like this?
He was able to keep his muttered responses down low enough that the miniaturized throat mic could pick them up, yet not be overheard by any of the other patrons of the establishment. A burst of solar flare static rasped inside Bosk's head like a swarm of Nimgorian saber wasps. Bosk winked. It proved, at least, that Boba Fett and his Slave One ship were off-planet.
Stay low.
Boba Fett's unnaturally calm voice faded back in.
Try not to draw any attention to yourself.
I'm already doing that,
snarled Bosk.
So when are we going to make our move?
Soon enough,
replied Fett.
There's still a few things that have to be checked out.
The voice of the distant bounty hunter spoke with infuriating patience and logic.
We can't allow ourselves any mistakes. If we spook him and he dives into whatever escape route he's got lined up, and he's sure to have one, we won't be able to track him down again. We'll have lost him.
That possibility made Bosk's blood run even colder than its normal homeostatic temperature level. All his plans for freezing out the True Guild faction and reforming the old Bounty Hunters Guild with himself at its head depended upon raking in that mountain of credit that Palpatine had put up for Tahim Vassant's hide. And whatever else could be said about Boba Fett, the man was right about one thing. The renegade stormtrooper must have some kind of defenses in place. It would be suicidal otherwise for Vassant to be sitting out here in the open like this. Becoming an Imperial stormtrooper was no easy process. Those who didn't make it all the way to the end, whose bodies or minds broke under their drill sergeant's sadistic regimens, washed out of the program as corpses. An unquestioning loyalty and obedience to superior officers went with the training. For someone like Vassant, who had gone through all that and had then served with distinction in one of the stormtroopers' elite units, to have kept hidden deep inside himself a vestige of another nature, one that could even contemplate treason, that spoke of a dark core that was harder and more determined than all the ranks of the other stormtroopers combined. And if others had to die in the process for him to make his escape with the codes that would buy his safety, he wouldn't be likely to even give a second thought about it. Bosk figured that it would be a dead giveaway if he spent too much time keeping watch on Tahim Vassant. He shifted his gaze over to the other patrons of the watering hole. Most of them seemed to be personnel left over from the planet's brief period as an Imperial mining colony.
Stupid barbs,
thought Bosk dismissively. Most of the former miners had let themselves be surgically altered just for the privilege of rooting beneath the planet's rocky crust for whatever the Empire had once deemed valuable. Their skulls were thickened with massive layers of hormonally induced bone growth as a form of subdermal safety helmet suitable for mining work. Their faces were masked with intricate folds of spongy air filtration cilia. That was the Imperial Biomodification Clinic's idea of protection against lung-fouling diseases. Even their hands had been altered, the fingers replaced with curved sections of durasteel that meshed with one another to form sharp scoop-like appendages, the better for scrabbling in the rocks and loose gravel of the quarry tailings. Even as he gazed at the poor creatures, Bosk dismissed them as being of no more importance than the daubs of faded decorative paint on the watering hole's walls. The Empire left victims wherever its reach extended. These were just more of them. A harsh, flat voice broke into his thought.
I want to know what you're doing here, Bosk.
He turned and looked up, and found himself gazing straight into the face of Tahin Vasant. Keeping his gaze on the Trandoshan, Vasant reached behind himself, grabbed the chair from an empty table, and pulled it around.
How's things going with the Bounty Hunters Guild these days?
Bosk managed a shrug.
Let's just leave guild politics out of the conversation, okay? That doesn't have anything to do with you.
It might, said Vasant with a trace of amusement. Especially if it gave somebody like you the desire to score a huge bounty. A bounty like the one Palpatine's got riding on me. You could do a lot with that kind of credits, couldn't you? But let me tell you something. All the credits in the galaxy won't do you any good if you're not alive to spend them. It's been nice talking to you. Vasant spoke with a distinct lack of emotion. So, believe me, it's not without some real regret on my part that I'm going to have to kill you. Just to be on the safe side, you know.
Yeah, right.
Bosk felt seriously annoyed. He knew that things were going to get ugly real quick, and Boba Fett still hadn't deigned to show up on the scene.
Some partnership,
groused Bosk to himself. In the meantime, he was going to have to blow away a prime piece of hard merchandise, the biggest bounty ever posted, as far as Bosk could recall, just to keep from getting killed himself. Even that would take some doing, unless an idea had struck him.
Before you do that,
said Bosk,
could you tell me something? Did you spend all the credit?
What's the matter to you?
Well, the truth is that you got me wrong.
Bosk tapped his chest with a single claw.
I didn't come here to try and haul you in. Do I look like a complete idiot?
Vasant peered suspiciously at him. Keep talking. Bosk spread both his clawed hands apart.
There's more than one way to make some credits in this galaxy.
He put his hands back down on the table and leaned closer to Vasant.
Let's face it, there's going to be a lot of bounty hunters coming after you. The kind of price you've got on your head is guaranteed. So, you need all the help you can get and that you can pay for.
Bosk leaned back in his chair.
That's where I come in.
You? Vasant gave a derisive snort. What can you do for me?
I can tell you just how those bounty hunters out there are going to make their moves before they happen. I didn't spend all that time in the old Bounty Hunters Guild without learning all the tricks of the trade. And I know all those bars. I know their minds work.
Ah, I see. Vasant looked at him with distaste. And that's what you're planning on selling to me, your expertise on bounty hunters.
That's what I can deliver, all right.
Bosk let his smile widen across his muzzle.
For a price.
A good price, I suppose. Bosk shrugged.
I'm worth it.
I bet you are, said Vasant. But I have my own notions about what you're worth. That didn't sound good to Bosk.
Like what?
Like this. Vasant reached inside his jacket and pulled out a blaster pistol. In one quick fluid motion, he had it pointed directly at Bosk's forehead.
I think we have a deal.
All thought ceased, and Bosk went into pure reaction mode. With his hands flattened against the top of the table and a blaster aimed at his skull, his options were limited. But not totally. He threw his weight back in the chair, toppling it and himself with it. At the same time, Bosk thrust his legs straight, his clawed feet coming up hard against the table's underside. The table flew up, striking Vasant's weapon arm and throwing off his aim. As Bosk's spine struck the watering hole's littered floor, he quickly rolled onto his hands and feet and dove toward the tables crowding the far side of the stage.
Bounty hunter,
Vasant called out, hidden in the shadows at the edge of the watering hole. If you think this is how you're going to get out of here alive, you're mistaken.
tell you what, my son.
Boss pressed his spine against the shield of an overturned table, one shoulder jammed against the silent form of a miner next to him.
We could both walk out of here alive, if that's the way you want it. That'd be an easy deal to make. But if I'm not leaving in one piece, then neither are you. As far as I can see, you've got a blaster, and I've got a blaster. And there's one of you, and one of me here.
Bosk turned past the edge of the table and let off a bolt in the direction of the other's voice, then quickly scrambled back before Vassant could return fire.
Considering how the Imperial Stormtroopers usually make up in numbers what they lack in marksmanship, I'd say I've got the advantage.
A quick pair of bolts charred the rim of the table above Bosk's head, sending hot splinters across his shoulders.
You're forgetting something, bounty hunter.
The same sneering tinge as before sounded in Vassant's words.
I've spent enough of my credits to make sure there's plenty of surprises in store for an idiot like you.
Yeah?
Boss glanced at the weapon in his upraised hand to be sure of its charge level. The indicator gauge showed that it held more than enough to disintegrate the entire structure of the watering hole, shot by shot, if necessary.
Like what?
Like this.
Those words confused Bosk for a moment. They seemed to be from Terhim Vassant's mouth, but much closer, as if the ex-stormtrooper had managed to sneak up right next to him. He turned away from the edge of the table and toward an unemployed colonial miner. His glance was just in time to see one of the huge shovel-like hands come swinging down toward his fire. Bosk's blaster went spinning across the floor of the watering hole as his shoulder knocked the table upside down. His vision was just clear enough, even though tinged with swirling red at its limits, to see both Terhim Vassant and the anonymous miner looming over him.
You see?
Vassant smiled down cruelly at him. One hand held a blaster pointed down at Bosk. With the other hand, the ex-stormtrooper reached over and lifted a miniaturized comm device that dangled on a cord beneath the wrinkled, fungoid breathing filter that masked the miner's face.
There isn't a single creature in this colony that isn't on my payroll.
He motioned with the blaster to the miner standing across from him.
Stand this scum up.
The two big shovel-like hands slipped under Bosk's arms and brought him unsteadily to his feet. Now Bosk found himself looking directly into the muzzle of Vassant's upraised blaster.
Wait a minute.
With his vision still blurred, Bosk spread his hands apart.
We could still work something out.
We could, said Vassant. But since you're leaving us right now, for good, who exactly am I supposed to be dealing with?
His hand tightened on the blaster's grip, thumb beginning its pressure on the trigger.
How about dealing with me?
Bosk figured that the blow from the miner must have knocked something loose inside his head. Those last words hadn't come from either himself or from Vassant. And he recognized the voice that had spoken them. It was Boba Fett. Squinting, Bosk managed to bring his sight into focus, well enough to see Terhim Vassant holding up his throat mic unit and looking at its tiny speaker in puzzlement. Fett's voice had come from there.
But that can't be, murmured Vassant. That would mean...
Exactly. One word, cold and emotionless, but not from Vassant's throat mic unit. Boba Fett's voice, unamplified and real, came from behind Bosk. He saw Vassant look past him in surprise, just as one of the miner's broad shovel hands pushed him aside. The fingers, each of them nearly a half meter in length, seized upon Vassant's hand and forearm. Then Vassant's face distorted with pain and rage as the miner's hand turned, twisting and nearly pulling Vassant's arm from its socket. Vassant crumbled on top of the broken chair debris that lay scattered across the floor.
Here.
Fett's voice spoke again as the miner's durasteel hand opened flat and held out the ex-stormtrooper's captured blaster.
Don't let him move.
Boss grabbed the blaster and kept it aimed at Vassant. From the corner of his slit-pupiled eye, he watched as the miner disguise was shed in pieces, revealing Boba Fett in his Mandalorian armor beneath it. Bosk felt more irritated than relieved as he looked at his partner in this operation.
So, all that about? I thought you were still out beyond the atmosphere in Slave One.
That's what I wanted our merchandise here to believe, said Boba Fett. I knew he'd be monitoring our communications, so I recorded and synthesized a few audio signals, static and the like, to patch in with my communications to you. That way, Vasant believed the same thing you did, that I was safely out of the area.
I get you.
Bosk nodded in appreciation of the strategy.
We needed to have him drop his defenses. And nothing does that like believing you've just bested one of your enemies. And you already paid off the other miner.
Of course, I don't like bystanders interfering with my plans. Boba Fett's shoulders lifted in a slight shrug. And loyalty that's been purchased once is always the cheapest to buy again.
Nice plan.
A surge of resentment suddenly mounted inside Bosk.
Except for one little thing, partner. You just about got me killed.
You have nothing to complain about, said Fett. He had unholstered his own blaster pistol and now used it to point down toward the former Imperial stormtrooper. We've got what we came here for.
Think so?
Another voice had spoken. Bosk glanced quickly down at Vasant. The ex-stormtrooper's face was streaked with blood, his brow slashed open by the shovel-like hand that had knocked him sprawling. Through the trailing red web, his gaze was both furious and somehow triumphant. Before the Trandoshan or Boba Fett could stop him, Vasant had torn aside the sleeve of his jacket, revealing a small control pad strapped by two bands to his forearm. There was only a single button on the pad that Vasant jabbed his index finger down upon. The watering hole came apart like so much cheap plaster. Bosk found himself tumbling backward in air, clawed hands scrabbling to catch hold of anything in this suddenly erupting world. The planet's sulfurous daylight poured through the crumbling pieces of the structure whose close spaces had been encircled around him only a fraction of a second ago. His spine slammed hard into a sheet of Durasteel. Before Bosk could tell where he was, what machinery he had landed upon, the Durasteel tilted out from under him. He barely managed to catch hold of a row of bulkheads, his claws digging into a seam in the metal. A glimpse toward the revealed horizon showed more and more of the terrain at the foot of the craggy mountains, and Bosk realized that the machinery to which he clung was surging upward. A voice sounded inside his head from a cochlear implant.
Don't try to jump,
came Boba Fett's voice.
These things will crush you like an insect.
What's going on?
Against the machinery's howling noise, Bosk shouted into his throat mic.
What is this thing?
Autonomic crust piercer.
Fett's voice snapped back the answer.
For deep core mining operations.
A shudder ran through the metal that Bosk's torso was pressed against. He clung with even more determination to the bulkheads and seam, aware that if he were to be shaken loose, he would slide straight into the massive gear-driven treads only a few meters below him.
Vasant must have wired it up,
continued Boba Fett's voice.
For one more defense system. With a doomsday button in case anybody did manage to get the drop on him.
Where are you?
Bosk scanned across the landscape far below. The buildings of the abandoned Imperial mining colony looked like mere rounded bumps set into the barren rocky ground.
I managed to hit the ground,
came Fett's voice.
Vasant has to be around here somewhere.
Bosk lifted his head from the Durasteel. A churning cloud of dust obscured the ground below.
I see him.
The crust piercer's shadow gave Bosk a rough indicator of direction.
He's north of me.
There was something else that Bosk could see. A glint of dark metal in Trahim Vasant's hand.
His arm.
The need for informing his partner of that fact was eliminated as Bosk saw Vasant crouch down, weapon arm raised, and fire a quick barrage of blaster bolts into the dust cloud before him. Vasant's tiny figure was suddenly knocked off its feet as a propelled dart with line attached zipped out from the dust cloud. The line wrapped itself around Vasant in a microsecond, pinning his arms to his side. Boba Fett emerged from the dust cloud at the crust piercer's base, lowering the dart weapon from its braced position against his shoulder. The
the crust piercer finally emerged all the way from the planet's surface. Enough momentum had been built up in the machine's enormous mass from the speed of the treads grinding up through the rocky substrata that for a moment it hung suspended above the ground, its gouging prow and propulsive gears spinning free of contact. On the ground, Boba Fett turned his visored gaze away from his captive and up toward the Durasteel construct, looming as big as a flying mountain range above him.
Not good,
Bosk told himself as he clung to the machinery's bolt-studded flank.
This is going to hurt.
He felt himself going from a near vertical position to lying prone, pinned by gravity as the crust piercer tilted forward in the air. Atop the machine, as though he were an ant stranded aboard a child's toy, Bosk braced for the impact. He felt it through every fiber and cell of his body. His outstretched forearms and torso struck flat against the metal, the blow knocking the wind from his lungs, anesthetizing him from the roar and fury of the crust piercer's destruction of itself and whatever lay beneath it. Boss came to a second later and wiped blood from his muzzle. Black smoke billowed upward into the sky, pouring from the crumpled and ripped apart flanks of the crust piercer. He ducked instinctively as muffled explosions sounded from deep within the machine, its shattered power sources igniting into flames and arcing meteor-like sparks.
It's gonna blow,
Boss told himself.
Get going.
Pushing himself up on his bruised hands, Bosk managed to scramble to the edge of the panel beneath him. The metal was slick with lubricating oil, bubbling and hissing the heat from the explosions farther inside the machinery. He let himself fall, not caring what the distance to the ground was. That turned out to be only a couple of meters. Flopped on his back, Bosk saw that the gears and treads of the crust piercer's propulsive devices were buried three-quarters of their height into the ground.
Hollow,
realized Bosk. The terrain beneath the mining colony had been tunneled out as layer after layer of ore had been extracted, and the shafts and underground quarries had been left empty. He would otherwise have been killed by the impact of the crust piercer's landing if it had struck solid ground with no way of dissipating even part of the crushing force. Bosk got to his feet and staggered toward the front of the machine. He was alone in what was left of the mining colony. Nothing could have survived being buried under that many tons of Durasteel falling out of the sky. Something moved underneath the prow of the crust piercer, halfway between the rectangular plates of its treads. As Bosk watched, a gloved hand emerged, clawing its grip into the dirt. A familiar helmet, even more dented and scraped than it had been before, showed its cracked T-shaped visor. Bit by bit, as though rising from the grave, Boba Fett crawled out from beneath the smoldering wreckage. He pointed back to the scraped-out hole from which he had just emerged, with the bulk of the crust piercer towering above it.
The sun. He's right there. I have to get him out.
The job was made easier by the ex-stormtrooper being both motionless and still bound by the cord that Boba Fett's dark weapon had looped around him. Fett knelt down and did a quick check of vital signs.
He's still alive.
Fett glanced over at Bosk.
We've got our merchandise.
Exhausted, Bosk squatted onto his haunches. Beside him, Boba Fett activated his comlink and signaled his ship, Slave One, to descend and pick them up.
I don't know.
Bosk slowly shook his head. Every breath hurt, and he was sure there were at least a few bones broken inside him.
I don't think I want to work with you anymore.